With what the Word of God can do for you. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe.
I'm fascinated by watching people take something that's been ruined and seeing it fixed up again. An old piece of furniture, an antique car, or, you know, a house that's run down. There are some people, and I so admire them, they have the ability to look at something that's messed up and say, I can bring that thing back to life. Well, that's what God's law does in our hearts. See, because we've sinned, because we've stepped out of the will of God, mankind has, and each of us have individually as well, what we need is a conversion, a restoration. We need a freshening. And so he says, hey, the Word of God can do that.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Has this thought ever crossed your mind when you're faced with a big decision? I wish God would speak to me. Well, the fact of the matter is, God does speak to His people. And we'll explain how today on The Balanced Word. We're going through the Psalms right now with Pastor Dave Rolfe, and today we enter into Psalm 19. Pastor Dave is quick to point out it's one of his favorites.
Psalm 19 is a psalm that's, well, it's one of my favorites. It's a great psalm, and it talks about, I know I say that every psalm, but it talks about the fact that God speaks to His people. It's all about God's communication and His speaking to us. And as such, it has great relevance and great importance for us. Speaking of speaking, I had a funny thing happen on Wednesday during the day, and I shared it on Wednesday night, but there's a sequel to the story, and so I'll share it with all of you who weren't there Wednesday night as well. But on Wednesday, I was down at the Montage Resort studying for my Wednesday night sermon and just spending time with the Lord and soaking up His Word and just taking advantage of the gorgeous day. I like to sit on a bench that's right out there on the point. There's kind of a gazebo sort of thing, and you can see down the coast. And on this particular day, it was just beautiful, and there was almost no one there on a weekday. School started now, and so as I was walking, I saw there was a guy sitting in the first bench, and second bench was open, and this guy was just sitting there reading and didn't, you know, look like he'd bother me too much, so I took the bench right next to him. There's just a pillar between us, and I was just praying and thanking the Lord for the beautiful day and beginning to meditate on the scriptures. And all of a sudden, this guy next to me says, hey. And I went, huh? And I'm looking around, and then I thought, oh, I bet he has a little hands-free telephone, and because that's what, you know, usually that's what it means when someone's being obnoxious and talking to no one in particular. So I thought, you know, no big deal. And then he says, WAPO. I'm like, huh? But there's no other conversation. So I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a cell phone or not. I kind of look. No, he's by himself. Nobody walked up. And so then, again, a little bit later, he says, hey. And I go, I bet WAPO's coming next. He says, WAPO. And so I'm like, okay, I think this guy probably has Tourette syndrome, which is where things just come out of your mouth and you don't, the inhibitory functions of the brain are held back. And I've had a few friends with Tourette syndrome, so I'm pretty familiar with it. And I'm thinking, this is going to be sort of a distraction as I'm trying to spend time with the Lord if He keeps saying, hey, and WAPO. But I thought also, I would hate to, it'll make Him feel bad if I get up and move. It's going to be obvious this is why. And so I'm just going to ignore it and let it go. And but then a little while later, I'm expecting to hear, hey, or I'm thinking, well, maybe he's over it. And then all of a sudden, he just goes, WAPO. I'm like, huh. And then a little later, WAPO. WAPO. I'm still kind of looking at him. Now I'm starting to think, this isn't Tourette syndrome. This guy's crazy. And I'm thinking, there's just the two of us here. What if he gets up and he thinks I'm WAPO and we get in a fight? There's a cliff here. I have to throw the guy off the cliff. And I'm just going, I'm going to have to get up and go read somewhere else. I like it here. But right when I'm doing that, he starts talking and he goes, WAPO, you're a good boy. You're such a good boy. And I'm going, oh, WAPO is his invisible dog. And again, I'm checking the ground. There's no WAPA. And then I'm ready to move. And then he says, come on, WAPA, let's go. And he gets up and starts walking away. And I'm checking the ground. I don't see anything. And so he leaves. And I don't want to stare at him. So I wait until he gets a ways away. And then I turn over there and see this guy as he's walking away with a parrot on his shoulder. And I thought, oh, man, of course, now that makes sense. Of course, Ann and I, 2 days later, last Friday night, went out to eat, and then we went down to the same place. And we sat on that same bench, and, you know, we were just enjoying. It was a beautiful night. It was, you know, cool but nice. The full moon was glistening off the water. And as we sat there on that bench, we heard a little bit behind us, WAPO. And I'm just going, who is this guy? And I turned around and it was Doug Bailey, who he and Jackie were out walking, and he had been there Wednesday night and heard about it. Now, I told the story this morning, and Stacy told me she knows the guy. He's there all the time. And he said, actually, the parrot's name is Guapo, which I guess means beautiful or something in Spanish. Okay, so that's that story. But, you know, so often our communication, it doesn't communicate what we intend to communicate. We are trying to say one thing, but we think we have it figured out, and it really isn't that way. Among family members, among spouses, and certainly between us and the Lord, there are communication breakdowns. And here in Psalm 19, there's this beautiful picture. It's such a great psalm. Several songs have been written from this psalm, Psalm 119. But it's a great explanation of how God speaks. And it starts here in verse 1. As David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." And now talking about the sun, "In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." This description of God's creation, the pointing out the fact that what God has made speaks, is something that we call general revelation. We theologians refer to it as that. It's God speaking in a general way to everyone. And you can't help but look at God's creation and be impressed with certain things. God is huge and powerful. He is glorious. As we study creation, we also see that God is merciful, and he plans ahead, and he takes care of that which he creates. If you can look at creation and not be impressed that there is a creator, then either something's wrong with you or someone has lied to you. Because it is sheer folly to look at this creation and to come to the conclusion that there isn't a creator. To look at the heavens as they declare the glory of God and to decide that, wow, that was some kind of accident. Boy, that sure mutated in an interesting way. In order to come to that kind of a conclusion that all that God made is just here by accidental circumstance, you have to completely ignore the obvious, that this amazing creation was made by an amazing creator, and God's glory is declared in a general way. Now, general revelation is something where God speaks to everyone in general. It's not specific to a particular religion even, necessarily. It certainly would contradict some and encourage you toward others, but this revelation of God that's called general revelation is something that just lays the groundwork to set the stage, to demonstrate the notion that, wow. As we were recently studying in the book of Job, we saw God come to Job, and Job had been having complicated philosophical discussions concerning the existence of evil and the existence of God and things like this, and he was struggling. And when God came and revealed himself, he basically just talked about creation. in this general revelation that anyone ought to be able to see the glory of God, the amazing nature of God. But as we see this general revelation, it gives us a desire for something more specific. It causes us to say, but I have so many questions when I see what God has done and what he has made. And so that brings us to what we call special revelation. And by special revelation, we generally refer to God's word as he gets more specific, as he gets more intentional in introducing himself to people. And so after David talks about the glories of general revelation, now he begins to talk in verse 7 about special revelation, the word of God itself, and as God speaks specifically to us. And he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So now he says, not only do we have this general revelation of who God is and how amazing he is, but he said, now look, we have God's word. And he uses all of these words, different words, to refer to the word of God in a different way. He calls it the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, the judgments. And he's saying in so many ways, God's specific word is something that is so important to us, so valuable for us, that it's more valuable than gold. It's better than anything else that we can imagine. The law of the Lord is perfect. So perfect, that word means to be complete. It's everything that fills in whatever is missing. The law of the Lord is complete and perfect, converting the soul. That word, converting the soul, could also be translated completing or recreating or restoring the soul. It's the idea of holding something back, but the specific meaning of the word is that there's something that's been lost, and now it's being restored, it's being brought back. I'm fascinated by watching people take something that's been ruined and seeing it fixed up again. An old piece of furniture, an antique car, or, you know, a house that's run down. It's always interesting to watch. And I always think in my head, that'd be a fun thing to do. But in reality, I often find myself not having the time to really put in the work that's necessary. And so I'll kind of halfway start something and then push it aside for something that's more pressing. But there are some people, and I so admire them, they have the ability to look at something that's messed up and say, I can bring that thing back to life. Well, that's what God's law does in our hearts. See, because we've sinned, because we've stepped out of the will of God, mankind has, and each of us have individually as well, what we need is a conversion, a restoration. We need a freshening. And so he says, hey, the word of God can do that. It can restore what you've thrown away. It can rebuild what you've trashed. And as he goes on to say also, his testimony is sure. It's solid. It's certain. Making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord. That's his story. His story as he deals in people's lives. You have a testimony as you tell what God has done in your life. And so the word of God is so much of it devoted to testimonies of what God has done in the lives of people. And those are lessons that can cause us to wise up. Those are lessons that can cause us to see, oh, I didn't understand this, but now I do. I thought things were simple. Now I realize they're more complicated than they initially were. But it's starting to make sense when I see his story. When I see how his story unfolds in my life, things come together for me. And then as he goes on to talk about the statutes, things that God commands, they're right. And they rejoice the heart. God's word, one of the reasons why it's so valuable is because it can give us a joy that we can't find any other way. We saw back in the book of Nehemiah how the Lord made it clear, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We learn in the New Testament that the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that comes from the Spirit working in our lives. And so that's why it's valuable. If you can make someone rejoice, oh man, you could sell that. If you could bottle it, the ability to give joy. And he says, that's what the word can do. It can put joy in your life. As he goes on and says, it also, the commandment of the Lord is pure. It's not cluttered, it's not polluted, but it enlightens the eyes. Eyes can say a lot. You know, you ever have that feeling when you get up in the morning and it's not on purpose, but accidentally you look in the mirror and just go, oh man, do I look that bad? This is awful. There are some people that you look at them and their eyes speak volumes. They're just alive. The word here for enlightening is really to put on fire. And as we want God to burn as a fire in our lives, there are some people whose eyes just dance and sparkle. They're so full of life. There are other people who you look at their eyes and it's like there's no one home. You feel like going, are you there? It's a bad thing when you look in the mirror and that's what you see in your own eyes. I don't know about you, but I see that sometimes. I look at myself and just go, oh, man. And it's one thing if it's early in the morning. Fortunately, our vision isn't very good in the morning either. But at some point, do you ever look and just go, ugh, there's a light that's gone. There's a twinkle that's missing. He goes, the word of God is so valuable because it can put that back in your eyes. It can put that light in your face that has been lost. Again, the fear of the Lord is clean, endures forever, it lasts. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. Everything that he does, it ends up working out. It ends up being the best thing that could possibly happen to us. And so, as we see this special revelation of God, his word, we hang on to it. It's why we read it. It's why, as a church, we go through it. It's why, individually, we study it, why we should memorize it, why it should be a part of our daily lives. It's valuable. You might have found some really valuable masterpiece painted by one of the great artists, and you have that thing, and they assess it, and they say, that is worth $50 million. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if you stick legs on the painting and use it as a coffee table to put your feet on, to put your drink on, and it starts getting circles on it and everything, eventually, it doesn't matter how much value is in that painting. If you don't treat it in the way that a valuable painting ought to be treated, pretty soon it won't be worth much. It won't be worth much to you. It's enough as it's sitting out in your backyard and it's raining on it and the sun is baking down and you can brag about how valuable it is. But just like the Word of God, it has this value. It's more desired than gold. But it isn't valuable if you just don't use it, if you just toss it aside and neglect it. The value becomes academic at that point, but not practical at all. And that so often is what we do with the Word of God. We can say how valuable it is, but really we show our belief in its value based on whether or not we use it, and it's really useless sitting there. We don't look at God's Word and say, oh, it does all these wonderful things if it just sits on our shelf. It does all these wonderful things if we say we believe in it. But the bottom line is there's something more that God wants from us than just to acknowledge the value of the Word. We can look at the glory of creation in general revelation. We can read God's word and study it and put it in our minds and everything else, and still that special value hasn't been completely revealed, and God maybe hasn't spoken to us at all. There are a lot of people who I believe know the word of God, and yet God has never really spoken to them personally from it. Because there's a third kind of revelation that's so important, it eclipses the other two. And that is personal revelation. It's God speaking to you and speaking to me personally. As he takes the glory of his creation and the beauty of and value of his word, and he puts them into our lives so that it changes us. If it doesn't do that, The value is only academic, but not at all practical and really not at all helpful. And so the psalmist goes on here, David goes on to discuss the fact that there's a way that God wants to speak to you and speak to me that goes deeper than creation. And it gets much more personal than just his word. It's that he wants to take those and apply them to your life in a way that's going to make a difference. And that's his personal revelation to you by his Holy Spirit as he speaks to your heart. Now, you can't have that without the other. I don't think if creation was here, we would ever even believe that the Word of God would be valuable. And I don't think that without the Word of God, we can ever just hear from God and, oh, I have my own relationship with God and I don't pay attention to his Word. But when you understand who he is, his glory, and you read his Word, and then it becomes a part of you, that's where the power lies. That's where the value ultimately is. It's why he says, your servant's warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. It's not just, whoa, what a valuable book. It's when it becomes a part of my life, that makes all the difference in the world.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. TheBalancedWord.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to TheBalancedWord.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at TheBalancedWord.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at TheBalancedWord.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now here's Pastor Dave with more about how God's Word can restore us.
Now, when I personally look at his word, something happens and sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes it makes me very uncomfortable to hear what God says and to realize there's an implication behind that, and sometimes it's explicitly stated that I need fixing, that I need repair, that there's something desperately wrong with me. And yet that's unavoidable when you see his word. As you look back in the special revelation section, starting with verse 7, think about it. The law of the Lord is perfect, complete, and it converts or restores the soul. The soul is who you really are. Now, if you're going to say that the law is so valuable because it can convert my soul, what it's also saying is there's something wrong with my soul. It needs converting. You know, if you look at an old car and say, man, if that thing was restored, that would really be something. That's one thing. But if somebody just got a brand new car, and they drove up and they said, look at my car. And you looked at it and said, oh, are you going to fix it up? What? It's new. I just bought it. Yeah, but you could do some things to it that would really restore this thing's luster. Yeah, but it could be fixed. You know, what you need to do with this thing, that paint, that color just isn't quite right. And I know a guy down in Mexico who could do your seat covers in tuck and roll. Oh, man, they can make vinyl look just like leather. You go, what are you talking about? And so with our lives, too, when God starts to say, my word is so valuable because it can make you over, you're going, ugh. I don't know how people are funny, but I don't know how you would feel if somebody came up to you and said, you know, we look at you and you're perfect for a TV show that we're going to do on makeovers. That's not much of a compliment. And so as we look at God's word, we realize, okay, if one of the first things that it's so valuable about is that it can make you over and can restore you, then it forces you to face the fact that you need restoration.
We'll hear more about how God speaks to us tomorrow on The Balanced Word as Pastor Dave Rolfe digs deeper into Psalm 19. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.